Hi, and welcome to the View Church Table View Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. You're listening to a message from CJ Whitaker.
Cool. Rad. So I'll be completely honest with you guys. One quirky thing about me, and I don't know if this applies to anyone else, but one quirky thing about me is that when I'm like using the TV remote on the TV to turn off the volume, I can't have it on like 7 or like 5. It has to be like even. So it's either 8, 6, 2. Like I can't have it like on an odd number. I don't know. Is that just me? Is there anyone? Is it just me? Okay, you also? I'll take it. I'll also be completely honest with you guys. I've had a bit of a bad hair day today. So do you guys think it looks all right? No? It looks okay? Now, just a quick kind of general consensus. Do you think this side is better? Yes. Or do you think this side is better? Yes. This side. Okay. The tribe has spoken. But guys, we're in the last week. Thank you, Chris. That was a bit rude, but it's okay. We're in the last week of our Built to Last series, as you can see. There's a couple little tools there, which we've learned. But I've really enjoyed this series, as it's actually opened my eyes onto some of the things which God's called us to be and what's called us to do in terms of building healthy relationships and sustaining healthy relationships personally and even in the church environment. So who here has learned something from this series? I mean, I can put my hand up for that one. But Andre spoke today about, you know, what circles are you walking around? And it really hit me because I realized, like, so often as humans, we can often walk around the wrong circles, and we can often walk around the circles of negativity. And obviously in Proverbs, it says, those who study evil become evil. And that's what we realized today, is that if you're constantly looking for evil and focusing on the wrong things, you yourself are going to become the thing you're looking for. And that was really challenging for me, is because I realized that we have to be walking around the promise of God, because in the promise of God, there's sustainability and things which are going to fill us up to walk in the path which God has planned for us. And that was really challenging for me today, is because I realized, what are you walking around and what are you wasting your breath on? Because we've been called to worship God, but often we waste our breath on things of negativity. But today I really felt God put on my heart to chat about pride. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was kind of prepping this kind of stuff and looking and thinking, I really felt God kind of dig into my heart with a screwdriver. I know that sounds weird, but not like really. It wasn't like a screwdriver in my heart. That's a bit strange. But I really felt God really highlight some things in my life, which was trying to tell me about some things which maybe I'm prideful about. And the thing is, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. Am I allowed to be honest? Am I allowed to be blunt? We all have a pride problem. It's kind of in our natural human nature to have a pride problem. And it's only through Christ can we develop humbleness and humility that we learn to actually walk in a righteous path with God. But naturally, we are unable to be humble. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, pride lands you flat on your face, but humility prepares you for honors. Pride lands you flat on your face, and humility prepares you for honors. I've noticed that in relationships, when I sometimes act out of a place of pride, is when I open myself up for a lot of fights. So those of you who don't know, I actually got married, I think it's just over two months now. 2 months. And I'm not just saying that to be prideful, like I'm married and you guys aren't, but what I am saying is that even, I know that's quite sassy, but even in these last 2 months, I really realized God actually working in my heart. I know when I talk to my wife, I can really sense that he has been working in her heart, that pride is something which we cannot bring into our relationships. When we act out of pride, pride destroys intimacy, but humility unlocks rich relationships. Which is why when we look at the life of Christ, who was an example of humility, all his relationships were rich. Jesus understood humility. And one of the craziest things to me is when I look at Christ, he always submitted himself to the Father, because he says, I only do the will of my Father. He never took kind of credit for everything he does. Even though God is the Son, he is the three in one and one in three. But Jesus always says, I do the will of my Father. And that's what's crazy, because he always submitted himself to something higher than him. It's only really through humility that we're going to be able to see people how God sees them. Is that cool? Does that make sense? Because when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us through tainted glasses. He hasn't got like a pair of goggles which only sees a certain kind of side of us. When he looks at us, he sees Jesus Christ. And that we are made whole and made new in his image. And that we have been given a fresh start. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our shame. He sees us with humility. Because we've been made new in his image. Pride blocks us off from honesty and sets us up for offense. And that is something which I kind of learned quite harshly and quite hard. And can I be honest with you guys? I know I said it can be blunt, but can I be brutally, like really to the core, open, honest with you guys? So my name is CJ, and I have a pride problem. So I don't know, hi CJ, but I don't know if you guys maybe want to say it to yourself, but maybe you can admit it to yourself that we all actually have a pride problem. Is that cool, as I said earlier? And one of the ways which I actually realized has to do with Carol Blake, and it's quite a funny story. I didn't ask if I had permission to say this, but I'm just going to say it. But I remember mid last year, Carol got a group of guys together to write a song. They were kind of writing songs and jamming, and it was quite cool. And I remember the one day I walked into the hall, and I said, oh, Kiff, Carol, thanks for the invite. And I saw all these guys jamming on stage. They're writing cool songs. There was Kiff lyrics. They're jamming. And I walked in, and I felt a bit miffed. Like, I was like, why would Carol, like, not invite me? Like, Carol? And I walked up because I went to go grab something. I wasn't actually there to have a look. And Carol called me over, and she said, CJ, do you want to come have a listen to the song? And I went, nah, it's okay, Carol. I've got stuff in here to do. And I walked off. But what I realized, it was actually a bit meaner than that, by the way. It was actually more like, no, it's cool, Carol. It's cool. And I walked off. But what I realized that when I acted out of that place of pride, I realized, for me, I don't like bringing people below me, but I don't like seeing people above me. So I notice when people talk to me about something which I feel inferior to, I tend to neglect what they've done to make them feel bad. Make them feel, that's actually a form of manipulation. And that's something which I did. And I know you're saying, CJ, that sounds so bad, bro. You're a bad human being. I know. But I'm very thankful for Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful that today I can share that with you in hopes that sometime, somewhere, God is going to help you come to terms with something maybe you're struggling with. Because pride is an ongoing thing. So the other day, I got the massive opportunity of seeing one of my favorite bands live. And that was really cool, and I really enjoyed myself, and I had the best time ever. But while I was there, I got reminded of one of the lyrics of the band. And they said that, I bite my tongue because blood in my mouth beats blood on the floor. Does that make sense? I bite my tongue because blood in my mouth beats blood on the floor. And what he's pretty much saying is that sometimes holding your tongue and biting your tongue is worth more than actually getting into a fight about something. And I feel that Jesus generally displayed this every day in his life. Jesus rebuked when he needed to rebuke. Jesus challenged when he needed to challenge. Jesus spoke when he needed to talk. But Jesus never ever mocked. Jesus never ever made someone feel less than him. Jesus always said, I came to serve and not be served. Jesus acted in genuine humility, but he knew when to bite his tongue, and he knew when he needed to speak. So one of my first points for tonight is pride is the first chapter of failure. Pride is the first chapter of failure. Now, when I was in high school, I had a handful of really good mates, and my one mate's friend was Dewey, and I remember I came to school the one day, and he walked in, and he had this hideous, swelled-up face. Now, when I say hideous, I mean like, geez, did he get into a fire with a polar bear or something? Like, this thing looked terrible. And to make it even worse, he just had these scratches all over his face. And as the good friend as I am, I looked at him, and I laughed him straight in his face. Because you know you get the friends who are like, oh, bro, that sucks, dude. I feel so sorry for you. But I leant over, and I looked at him, And I laughed heavy. And I said, you look like an idiot. And I know I sound like a bad guy. I didn't do that. That's quite bad. But I laughed at him. And I asked him, dude, what happened? And he says, bro, this is going to sound really weird, but I fell off a horse. And I'm like, bro, you fall off a horse, bro. It's so strange. And what happened with the scratches, he actually fell off a horse and got his foot caught in the saddle and the horse dragged him for like 20 meters. I still laughed at him. I said, that's so funny, bro. That's hilarious. But that story reminds me of a part in the New Testament in Acts where a man called Saul was on his way to Damascus. Now, Saul was a Pharisee. Is everyone familiar with what a Pharisee is here? Everyone cool? So Pharisees, they were kind of the religious law. They were the leaders. But they sometimes, most of the time, acted out of a place of pride and actually religious ignorance. And in that time, they were actually persecuting, killing, and imprisoning Christians for following the way. And Saul was no different. And he was actually on his way to Damascus from Jerusalem because he felt that Jerusalem wasn't enough for him. He wanted to capture all the Christians. So he traveled from Jerusalem all the way to Damascus. And I'm led to believe that the journey from Jerusalem to Damascus is roughly a 2.5 days journey, from what I understood. When I did had a look, it was about 365 kilometers. So I'm led to believe that a person wouldn't really walk that. It's safe to say you probably rode a horse. And the thing is, back in the day, it was rare that a Pharisee didn't ride a horse because a horse was actually a status symbol. Which makes me wonder, because when Jesus walked in to Jerusalem, he asked for a donkey. Besides that, but it was a status symbol. And we're going to read in Acts about the encounter which Saul had. And in Acts 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way being following Jesus and the way Jesus taught, followed the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, much like my friend, off his horse, and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now I want you to imagine this. Someone who's got stuck up pride riding on his horse going to go, flip, I'm going to kill some Christians today on his way to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden a blinding light hits him. He falls off his horse, gets dragged across the floor like my friend did. He has this big bruised face and he's blinded because of an encounter with God. And those of you who don't know that Saul actually became a man named Paul. And Paul is one of the main contributors to the New Testament. And one thing which I get from that is that from a massive encounter with Jesus, you can't be the same. You can't stay the same. And one of the craziest things for me to see is that once Saul fell off his horse and encountered Jesus, he became a man named Paul. And the fall from pride to humility is a tough fall. But you can encounter humility when you come in contact with Jesus. Is that cool? Does that make sense? You're not going to stay the same once you've had a genuine encounter with Jesus. And that's pretty much what I want to tell you guys today, is that the fall from pride to humility is going to be one long, big fall off a horse. Because there's always going to come a time in your life, and I'm not saying God's going to do this, but sometimes he does, but he's going to knock you off your horse. Not to hurt you, but to propel you into a new direction, propel you into a new person, so that you can be a main contributor into your chapter of life, into someone else's chapter of life, just like Paul did. Is that cool? Does that make sense? And I can tell you right now, one of the most difficult prayers you're ever going to pray is, God, humble me. I can tell you right now, please do not pray that prayer. It sounds like a humble prayer to pray, but the fall from pride to humility is a long fall. And like even like I was praying this week about what does God want me to talk about, humility and pride, I really felt, actually, honest with you guys, I had a really tough week this week. Because I really felt God really highlighting some things in my life, which maybe he wants me to talk to you, and maybe he wants me to improve in my relationships. Because pride is going to block you off from relationships, but your humility is going to sustain rich relationships. And that's not money, but rich, life-giving, healthy relationships. And that's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. Can I hear an amen? Is that good? Pride is going to set you up for offense, and it's going to set you up for failure. Pride is the first step to failure. And in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, this is crazy. I was like, humble before in terms of like time, like before God humbles you, because at some point God's going to humble you. Or is it before in terms of in front of? And in this context, it's in front of God. And as we can see, even in that scripture of Acts, that Saul was humbled in front of God in his light. And when we humble ourselves in front of God, in his presence and in his light, and allow him to change who we are, that's when you're really going to experience pride to humility. Because it's only in the presence of Jesus that we can experience what it means to be humble, just like Jesus was humble. Is that cool? Is that Kev? I feel like pride's a bit of a tough topic because people are like, oh, I'm not proud. Don't talk to me about pride, you're proud. It's like, okay, well, look what you're saying, bro. Anyway. My next point is humility is the first chapter of success. Humility is the first chapter of success. Now, when I was about 18, I used to run a teen view group, life group, and I pretty much had a view group of lighties, and they were all kind of dumb, but they were kids to hang out with. I'm joking, I love them, they're really cool. They're all phenomenal leaders now. But I remember we used to have this view group. I'm not sure it's Jack here. Jack isn't here, I don't think so. But I remember it was during a time, who remembers that time of all the load shedding? Remember that time with all that load shedding? I think you were there, team. I can't remember. And we went and played soccer by the petrol garage because the petrol garage had lights. So we're like, hey, guys, let's go where the light is and let's go play football. We went up to mischief. We weren't being naughty. But the thing is, as we were playing, a police car drove up and told us to go away. And in that moment, I was like, geez, we're like, we're not causing any trouble. And I'm pretty sure you're just telling me to go away because you're in a bad mood. I sometimes feel people do that. You know what I'm trying to say? Because I do that. But anyway, I remember my view group boys getting quite upset because they're like, we just want to, you were there, I think. I can't remember if you were there or not. But I remember, but it was crazy because all the view group boys are getting quite upset because we're just playing soccer and there's nowhere else to play soccer. So we're supposed to play soccer, but you're telling us to go somewhere else. And I remember as I was walking up to police officer to tune him to get out my face and probably get locked up in jail. As I was walking over there, I felt God really touch on my heart and say, cool, Sergio, this is an opportunity for you to humble yourself and respect authority, which has been placed above you for a reason, and show your view group boys how to actually respect authority, or you can go and cheat and think you're a big man pride dude. So as I got there, I went, hey, man, I'm so sorry for the disturbance, but we'll get going. Sorry that we caused some trouble, what you think we did. And I walked off. I realized in that moment that I was able to show, and it's not about me, I really felt God do that to me, but I really felt in that moment that God used me to be an example that we always sit under authority, whether it's right or wrong. We submit to authority. And that's where we take a step forward in our humility. Is that cool? That submitting to authority, whether they're right or wrong, is the first step of success in ourselves. Because as we submit to others, I believe that others will be submit to us, because you cannot teach who you aren't, and you cannot be what you're willing not, what you cannot be what you're not willing to do. Is that cool? So if you want to be a person of significance, a person of respect, and a person of authority, I believe that you have to sit under authority and learn how to be humble under in that situation. And in John 6:38, as I spoke earlier, it says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And that's Jesus submitting to authority, God the Father. The world tells us that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Now, I read that statement. I remember back in the day, I was like, wow, that's such a good statement of humility. I think of myself less and think of others more. But upon further thought, I decided that I actually do not agree with that statement. Because that's saying humility depends on my actions. As I spoke before, only getting closer to Jesus are we really going to get to any kind of state of humbleness. And in Matthew 22:39, it tells us that we must love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It doesn't say that we must love our neighbors more than ourselves. It doesn't say that we must think of our neighbors more than ourselves. So what I came to the conclusion of, that humility isn't thinking of yourself less, it's thinking about Christ more. Because his ways are higher than my own, his thoughts are higher than mine. And the only way to humility as we spoke is a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, who is the most humble person and most humble being ever to walk this earth. And I can prove that to you, because when Jesus was hanging on a cross, beaten, bruised, and his skin ripped, having nails driven through his hands, he said the most humble words, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." If that doesn't scream humble to you, I think we should get an encounter with Jesus. And we're going to have that opportunity now. The worship team can come up. In John 3:30, it says, "He must become greater, and I must become less." As I said before, if you want to encounter genuine humility, now I'll be honest with you, I don't think we're ever going to have it together. I don't ever think we're going to have it perfect. But one thing we can do is think of ourselves less and think of Christ more. And we're going to come into contact with Jesus, and we're going to go on a journey of humility. Because humility will be day-to-day decisions. It's not something which you grab. It's not something which you're going to get. But pride is the absence of humility. Let's worm pride out of our lives and understand what true godly humility is. Is that cool? Is this speaking to anyone tonight? Because I know it spoke to me. And it really challenged me on a couple of things which I need to get sorted in my life. And if you're asking me, CJ, how do we become humble like Christ? How do we become humble? Well, number one, it is not my will. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters." It is not my will on earth to do what I feel I've been called to do. It's purely what God has called us to be. And we do not work on this earth to please people. I struggle with that. I like to do things in front of people so people can see, wow, CJ is a hard worker. But that's not why we do this, because it's not my will to be on earth. It is God's will for me to do the will of my Father. And that is to genuinely love people, show people the way of Christ, and submit to what God tells me what to do. I do not live on this earth to please earthly masters. I live on this earth to play my heavenly King. Is that cool? Number two, it is no longer I who lives. In Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We cannot boast about this life, because it is not ours. It is no longer mine. I am dead to Christ. It is no longer I in the world, but Christ who is in me, that I get to do what I get to do. If you want to take a step closer to being humble, understand that it's purely by Jesus' blood on the cross that we get to do what we get to do today. It is purely by the blood of Jesus that Carol gets to lead worship, that Timo gets to play drums, that Matthew gets to stand on this platform, that I get to stand on this platform. I have not earned this. It is by Jesus' stripes on the cross that we have any possibility to do what we've been called to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for us. It is no longer I who lives. It is all about Jesus. My third and last point is, my actions don't build my kingdom. What I hear on earth is not to build. What I do here on earth is not to build my kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What we're doing here on earth, you might not be able to see. But when you take a step forward in humility and love God's people, God's way, with genuine humility, without any ulterior motives, we're going to see God's kingdom built. And when I'm talking about building God's kingdom, I'm not talking about building churches. Yes, we have to go out into the world, create spaces for people to encounter Jesus, create safe places for people with addictions and troubles to encounter God with amazing worship. But building God's kingdom is making a daily decision to make a difference maybe in one person's life. Maybe we're all not called to be big preachers, big worship leaders, but God's calling you to take a step of faith and make a difference in someone's life and grow his kingdom
by showing one person a day the love of Jesus, which Jesus showed us on the cross. That's building God's kingdom. Taking one step at a time. Because what we build is unseen, but has eternal value. We're going to go into a time of worship, and I believe in worship we really get to touch heaven, and we get to experience the love of Jesus Christ. The love which, weirdly enough, which might have seemed harsh for Saul, but it was a loving father which actually came down to earth and showed Saul the way. He was persecuting Christians for the way, but he showed Saul the way, and he became Paul, and it's in that encounter where Paul became a new person. And that fall from pride to humility might have seemed tough, but it helped generate a big portion of what we know as Christianity today. So you guys can take stand to your feet, and we're just going to worship for a bit, and we're going to trust that God tells us and speaks to us tonight. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.